coming. Pass is picked off.
He's going to go looking again, and it's picked off by Stephon Gilmore down on the right sideline.
Into the end zone, and he's picked off. Back the other way.
One day. New Year's resolutions.
Merry Christmas, then. I'm delighted to say that we've got the boss man himself, Dre, joining us, filling in for Jazz, which is great because, you know, Jazz can normally just be belligerent about Kirk Cousins and that's about it. So Dre can bring us a bit of flavour.
Absolutely.
And we get to discuss how the Colts are going to have, under Jeff Saturday, an incredible win this weekend.
Wow.
That will hold the Giants from...
Wow.
But what team are we supporting this week, Dre? Because I know you're a man of many teams, so you know.
Oh wow, I'm a man of one team. And first of all, let's just make that clear.
All right, okay.
I'm a man of one team, which is the New York Giants. Go Giants, go Big Blue. Ugh. Now, also, I have a affinity with the Dolphins because of my family, so I always root for them. And then because I like to be right about everything, I'm going hardcore in bandwagon support for the 49ers.
Oh, you're jumping on that bandwagon now.
You're just spreading your bets around the AFC and the NFC. I like it.
No. Hold a second. No, I said to you guys the last time I was on air, I said, I'm very sure that I said I predict that the 49ers are going to get to the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, partly I was doing that because I wanted to wind up Ollie, but...
But it probably worked.
They're going to hand them their ass, and I'm going to enjoy it.
That's going to be a hell of a championship game if we get there.
If it's Eagles-Niners, I was chatting with a Niners fan last night. If it's Eagles-Niners, I'm not going to be a happy panda about it. I need Dallas and the 49ers to be out of the playoffs as quickly as possible.
Well, I did a playoff simulator earlier, Ollie, and I was looking at the Eagles-Cowboys in the divisional round. If you take the favourites for the games now, then that's what you end up with.
Yeah.
But I told you, you're gonna lose the Cowboys in this. Was that week
Christmas
15
Eve.
Game? Yep. And then you're gonna beat them in the playoffs. So it's all fine because Dave is always right about everything, despite never winning a bet.
I was gonna say, how many bets have we won this year on this podcast?
Zero. That's another reason why I'm happy that Jazz isn't on, because you can't be crowing about him winning £500 or something a couple of weeks ago. I don't want to hear any more about that.
Well, he won £500 2 weeks ago, and then going into the Christmas games, he was like, and then what's going to be even better is that I'm going to win a grand on Christmas Eve. And it was like, it doesn't just happen like that. He was so convinced. It's like, well, no, now everything's going to be okay, and I'm just going to win all the money all the time. It's like, no.
You're going to be a millionaire within a year's time.
Yeah. Although I do feel extremely dirty this week, because part of my six-team accumulator was the Cowboys winning on Thursday Night Football, and that has happened. So I've bet on the Cowboys to win, because I was kind of hoping that the Thursday Night curse would catch me out, and it hasn't. Because they actually got the job done. So, unfortunately, I've got one of my bets in already, and it doesn't feel great betting on the Cowboys.
I'm just breathing in all this optimism from Ollie and all the Eagles fans.
Well, look,
and like, you know,
I'm just
breathing it in.
Hannah 2 weeks ago had a go at me and said that I wasn't happy enough about the Philadelphia Eagles, which is 100% true.
Yeah.
100%. And then I both sent you my Philadelphia Eagles Christmas carol about... All I want for Christmas was Dak Lyman.
You sent me that. I was shopping. I was in Primark, the worst place in the earth, and then I got that message from him.
Well, that must have cheered you up. It's a nice break from people scrabbling over you trying to find cheap t-shirts.
Well, you know what? I literally thought there could be nothing worse that could be happening, and then he sent me that message, and I was like, okay,
there's a new low.
There is a new low. There's a new floor.
But, so again, I tried to get on this whole enjoying the Eagles being good thing, and they lose. Uh-huh. And it's exactly what happened the week before they lost to the Commanders. I was like, forget it. I'm going to get in on this. I'm going to enjoy the bandwagon. Ugh, jeez. That's a nice hat.
Tell you what, Minshew looked good to me, though. I watched the 40. I know that he did make some mistakes, but he was throwing well.
It was one of those games where you just don't have confidence that if you're going slugging out, you just didn't have confidence that Minshew was a guaranteed touchdown every drive kind of guy. Whereas the Cowboys did kind of feel like that on Christmas Eve. It ruined my Christmas completely because it was the one it was the one day where I could get like a little bit looser, because obviously I had work on Boxing Day. So Christmas Day isn't like a drinking day like for a lot of people it is and all that kind of stuff. So Christmas Eve was the one where I was like, oh, I have a couple of extra glasses compared to everybody else, which of course made me heavily emotionally invested in that game. So while everybody else is watching TV, I'm yelling at the iPad throughout Christmas Eve.
And he's very angry.
As soon as it finished, it was like, Christmas is ruined. I'm going to bed.
Oh, come on, Ollie. All you got to do is beat the Saints this weekend, and then you've secured the one seed, and you don't need to worry about week 18. So, yeah.
No, fine. Dave, I sent him just a Merry Christmas message like on Christmas Eve. Just say, hello, friend. I just, you know, Merry Christmas. And then the abuse that I got back, well, you know, maybe if you guys are going to actually make the playoffs. I was like, hold on a second. I wished you well. I came with good tidings. Frankincense and myrrh and gold. I came with that. And he threw it out.
It doesn't... Me being nice to you and you being nice to me just doesn't feel right, does it? It's like there's always a suspicion of what's the reason behind it. So
The timing does. I feel like you probably sent that during the fourth quarter of that loss or something. So I'm a bit suspicious, Dave, to be honest, of what happened here. You're like, oh yeah, oh, Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great day. Subtext. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. I absolutely loved having Christmas American football. Did you get a chance to watch much of it? Or were you both like family? Because I know you had your family up with you, Dave. And I know, Dre, you're a very busy man with the family as well. Did you actually get to sit and enjoy it on Christmas Day at all?
I'll let Dave go first.
I did get to watch because Kate was working in the evening, so I managed to kind of take my family. Weren't staying with me. They were staying in a cottage nearby because it was too much having them all here. Very strategic of me managing to organise that. So, yeah, I was on my own watching the football. I really enjoyed it. It was nice, especially as my team is officially eliminated from playoff contention, so I can just enjoy the rest of the games. So that's the silver lining.
That's nice. That takes the pressure off watching American football when you don't have to worry about it. You lucky man.
It does.
You lucky, lucky man. You don't have any stress and tension going into these last 2 weeks. There's no playoffs to get, like, you know, really invested in or anything.
Yeah, because if the Falcons aren't up by, well, I don't know what the Falcons need to be up by, 4 scores or something to not lose a game. But if the Falcons aren't up by 4 scores, I'm not enjoying a Falcons game. So I don't know if I've enjoyed a Falcons game in a long while. If I'm honest.
It wasn't an unexpected defeat to the Ravens, though.
Oh, no. Bad game. God, the Ravens are very, very boring to watch. They are a team that are dribbling into the playoffs. Like, oof.
But they've never been that fun, even with Lamar, because Lamar is such a run first kind of QB and the offense is based around him running. It's always a bit like, yeah, it's going to be a scamper up the middle. If he gets into open space, it's exciting to watch, you know, an impressive guy make people miss. But
yeah,
when he's not, it's just, yeah, okay, yeah.
They don't have a lot of weapons, you know.
Safe,
I'd like to see what he can do
to Mark
with
Andrews, like,
yeah, they're just not, they're not interesting at all to watch. Like, literally, if they're on the television, I'm pretty much going to watch the highlights.
Yeah, usually.
Which is weird because you've got Lamar Jackson, who's just like, you know, everything that you would be playing with on computer games, literally cheat mode. But I don't know what it is. I just don't, especially when it's like the Ravens versus the Steelers. It just feels like it's the cold, hard man,
beer,
you know, type of game. You just feel like, oh, can't.
It's a throwback
there's
to
no
like
flair in it.
1930s American football, you know, when they still got like, the leather helmets.
But you feel
stuff.
Like you hit. You feel like you feel the hits. Like it feels like it's. I don't know what it is. It just doesn't do anything for me. But the Christmas Eve games were very good. I enjoyed it. I was wrapping presents. While I was, you know, because clearly I did last minute man shopping, you know, on Christmas
at Primark.
At Primark, you know, spared no expense for my wife. And
you got her about 12 dresses for £14, I think.
Mate, I don't know what she's complaining about. You know.
What a lovely plain white t-shirt, you know.
We're not sleeping in the car, then. No,
that's Santa in his sleigh, isn't it?
I always have this idiot idea to just go and get wrapping paper and just, like, you know, fill them presents there, and it just ends up just being carnage there. But the I did treat myself and went to Ralph Lauren for coffee.
Oh, nice. Which, you know, for coffee?
Yes, mate. You got sorry, people. Just please make it put in your calendar to go to Ralph Lauren just for coffee. Just sit outside there, especially Christmas, because you have all the on Newborn Street in London. Just in case people are like, where the hell's in Manchester? You don't have one.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say we don't have one of those in Swansea, Dre. So no. I didn't even recognise the names, to be honest. I was like, oh,
that'll be your fault. If anything,
you'll be headed over.
You
to
have a Primark, mate. So
you'll be heading over to
I
Ralph.
I don't know if they have coffee or not.
Ralph and Lauren's house that's just down the road. Lovely couple, Ralph and Lauren.
Oh, Ralph and Lauren.
Did not know they did coffee.
Yeah, bro, they do coffee there, and then the hot chocolates and all that stuff, and then everyone sits. They have their own, like, tree, and then there's a whole street, because you have opposite it, I think you have, like, Christian Dior and all those things. But they all compete against each other for the best Christmas decorations. So it's nice. A nice little atmosphere there of people that can't afford to go in those shops, just standing outside getting coffee like me.
And so you're able to sit down in Ralph Lauren, have a coffee on Christmas Eve, watch the Minnesota Vikings get a lovely 27-24 win over the New York Giants, and everybody goes home happy.
Well, hold on a second. Like, let's calm down now. First of all, we made a great account of ourselves, and it was heartbreaking to lose that game. But you know what? I actually thought to myself, okay, well, this game, I don't really see it going really well. I don't see us winning this one at all, because, you know, Minnesota Vikings are like a silent beast. I think everyone's not making noise about them, but they really actually should be taking them seriously, because they got weapons.
But every game is a one score win, and it
11 out of 12, Ollie. I looked today, 11 out of 12 wins, one score game.
It doesn't make you think, like, the Vikings get it done, you know, they blow people out. That this is, there's no conviction behind the victory. So you always go into it thinking, well, if they win, it's gonna be close and it could easily be a loss, but it's still,
however, Ollie, that is playoff-esque football every week. What, just for the Vikings?
Yeah.
So you can't say they're not prepared for knockout football.
Yeah.
And they've got who I feel is the MVP.
Oh, you're not on this, are you? Justin,
I'm on it. I'm on it. It can't be always the quarterback. I just don't understand that. I spoke to Brandon London, who's like the face of the Giants. Presenting and day presenting and game in game and New York Post and all that stuff, and then basically he said that he didn't understand why it always has to go to the quarterbacks, and this guy has got double coverage every single game and still puts up a ridiculous amount of points. So I just think don't you guys think it's harder to be a receiver?
First of all, you'll have to change the name of the awards, because quarterbacks are so easily the most valuable players on teams and in the league. Yeah. So you're already behind. He'll get the offensive player of the year, so it's not like he's not going to get an award. And also, I think you could make that argument in other years. Maybe last year, where we had Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and it wasn't the best year for quarterbacks. So maybe like a Cooper Kupp or someone else could have won the award then. But this year, I think Mahomes, he's on pace for getting 5,400 yards. He's played amazingly. He lost his best wide out in the offseason, and he's still amazing. And he's probably going to get the one seed. I don't think it's the year. I think it's the year where Mahomes is the MVP.
Last year was the year to give it to a receiver with Cooper Kupp with the triple crown.
Oh, Cooper Kupp should have got that.
Yeah,
definitely.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I don't necessarily want to see quarterbacks getting it all the time, but this year you've had two, maybe three standout quarterbacks that have been like head and shoulder above the rest. And you could still arguably, you know, Mahomes, Hurts, Allen are like the big three that are probably looking at it. I could still say Joe Burrow should go in there as well, because Burrow, when he's after like a slow start, thanks to his offensive line not protecting him, has turned it on and made the Bengals look incredible this year. And Justin Jefferson is, without a doubt, the essential key of that Vikings team. Mm. But at the same time, like, you know, bringing Hockenson worked so well. That's also been another string to the bow. Like, Thielen does get a lot in that offense as well. Irvin Smith Jr. As well has come on really well. Like, Justin Jefferson is without a doubt the best receiver, maybe the best playmaker in the NFL at this point. But I wouldn't necessarily say that the Vikings are 100% Justin Jefferson like the Rams were last year with Cooper Kupp.
That's fair.
Well, that's the only person they threw to.
I think it's going to
make it easier.
It's going to be an awkward conversation if the Vikings win this week and the Eagles win this week. I believe the Vikings are locked in at the 2 seed. So it'll be interesting to see if Jefferson plays the last week in week 18 when there's nothing to be earned from it, or if they rest him and stop him getting a chance at the 2,000 yard season, because he only needs another 244 over two games.
Doable.
It is, but you could imagine Kevin O'Connell's going to want to sit him, isn't he?
But I think Kevin O'Connell should be actually thinking about one particular fan base, which is a fantasy football fan base. So, you know, I think he owes the fantasy football fans, you know, a run out, you know, because it is championship time for everyone. So if you have managed to be able to get into the latter stages, you know, where you could actually win the whole thing. You know, some people crashed out early, really early.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But if you, oh, sorry, I forgot you was in it. But on a serious note, yeah, you should be playing because of fantasy football. I think that's.
I'm sure Kevin O'Connell's really going to care about that, Dre. Can you imagine if he's got Jefferson saying, oh, what about my 2,000 yard game? And he's like, well, I mean, I could do it for that, but really, this, you know, it's important for fantasy football. So
I've had a lot of WhatsApp messages this week, Justin, that I know the knee's not great, but I'm going to need you to play because I've got you in my team.
He demands that he plays.
I've got you in my team in fantasy as well as reality. And I actually need to win more in fantasy than I do in reality because we're going to the playoffs anyway. It's fine. But I really need to win. And I need to beat Doug Peterson in our fantasy football league. And so you're going to play. Yeah, you're going to play.
Can I tell you guys a quick story?
Yeah.
This is fantasy football related. Now, I was lucky enough to meet Cooper Kupp. And I said to myself, like, just because I was waiting to speak to him, you know, we spoke just briefly, just on his way in before he started practicing. And then I thought, I'm not going to talk about fantasy football. I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to be professional. I'm good. This is like one of the first times I'm actually getting to have some type of like friendly relationship with an NFL player, and it's Cooper Kupp. This is before he was Cooper Kupp, but he was still Cooper Kupp. And so I walked over, and then so I'm waiting for the guys to stop talking for a bit. He looks over at me and nods, like acknowledges my presence. I feel cool automatically. Within 2 seconds of me speaking to him, I'm speaking to him about fantasy football. And apparently, the PR zoo around me said, look, it was like 7 minutes of me just talking about fantasy football. And he was indulging me. Like, he literally just like carried on the conversation. But if there's, I'll put up the picture, I'll send it to you guys. Like, there's a picture where you can see me and him having a conversation. Please don't think there's anything sensible at all. It was literally me telling him how great he's doing for me in my fantasy football team.
Cooper, I think
he's
going to
avoid
you.
Me next time.
Is it going to be 36 points this week? What are we thinking? Like, where can I...
To be fair, Dre, if you were talking to a player and chastising them for how badly they were doing in your fantasy league, I think that would be a very different conversation. So,
oh, that's just clear madness.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's just... You know, you're caught. If you, I don't know who, I think it was Adam Rank, put out, like, please stop abusing players or sending them messages to them that they've ruined your season, because they don't care. No one cares. And I just think if you reach that level where you're going to abuse a player because he messed up your fantasy team, Ollie, you should stop. I really do think.
Mike Gesicki hasn't performed well enough this year, and he deserves
everything. How many DMs have you sent him, Ollie?
Oh my god! No, the worst one. I got close this Christmas because I had a different league to the one I'm in with Dre. It's one where there's a financial incentive to be in the final. If you're in the final, it's £80 already.
Nice.
And the guy I was playing had Cam Akers, and I was like, oh, this is horrible. Cam Akers is destroying Denver, and the more of a lead that the Rams get, the more Akers are going to be used in the running game. This is not going well. And I was like, I kept on looking at the score like, well, if he stops now, if they doesn't get any more yards after the first quarter, then it'll only be a 20-point game, and I'll still have a chance with Hopkins on the last day to get 10 points, and that'll give me the win. If he stops now after the second quarter, then that'll only be a 30-point game, and then like, and it was just after the Dallas thing on Christmas Eve to have that then just in front of your eyes watching Denver play so badly and Cam Akers running all over them and to take me out of fantasy contention as well. It wasn't a happy football Christmas, I tell you. I was the Grinch, man. I was the full-on Grinch when it came to Boxing Day with that.
That game was crazy, and it really shows how if an offense or a defense, if one side of the ball plays badly enough throughout the year, then the other side eventually will give in. Because that Broncos defense has been awesome throughout the year, and they've only let 25 plus points in a couple of times, and then they allow a 50 burger. And I think it just shows they're like, we're done. Like, yeah. We're done. We can't help you guys anymore.
Were they arguing on the side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Brett Rippin. When like telling the offensive line to like help Wilson get up when he gets hit and is down on the deck, and like one of the offensive linemen just blew up at Rippin and was like, "What are you talking about? We are not picking this guy up anymore because we've been picking him up all season," or something like that. And it was like, "Whoa, yeah, that'll lose you your job." I mean, without a doubt, deserves to lose it. There aren't many people that lose their job on Boxing Day, and I'm like, "No, you should go."
Like, yeah, but do you guys? Like, actually, and I'm a little bit, you know, skewed by meeting the guy this year.
Oh, here we go.
Hold a second. Hold up a second.
Name dropping all over.
He's in the Russell Wilson Church of Scientology. I get it.
I'm just picking up the names. But, like, I just don't think he's completely his fault.
There are
I think that you've got to look at the...
Look
at the head coach. Yeah, no, he didn't need to go out, you know, against the Rams. It's like with the first one, he had a little bit of a warning because that was almost an interception, the first throw.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, clearly you're going to learn from that. Like, I'm rooting for you, bro. Like, you just calm down. You know, don't just go for an easy pass. Then he did the same thing again and he got picked off. I was like, I can't watch this. Look, I can't watch you do this to yourself.
But it's all season. That's the thing. You know, there have been like open checkdowns at the 10-yard line on first and goal that Russell Wilson hasn't seen in front of him because he's getting like Malcolm Butler visions in his head while he stood there in the pocket or something like that. I mean, I've never seen a guy who is considered an MVP-level quarterback play so badly. I mean, without a doubt, maybe Zach Wilson is taking the pressure off him in that like worst QB this year, but
he's definitely in the bottom three, isn't he? I would have thought. I'm trying to think, Wilson, Matt Ryan's been very, very bad.
But I wouldn't necessarily blame Matt Ryan. He's still got better numbers than Russell Wilson, and he hasn't made as many glaring mistakes. It's been, I mean, the Colts are a bugbear of mine because they keep trying to change the wrong thing to fix a problem. Like, it doesn't matter what quarterback you put in Indianapolis, they're getting hit way too early. You saw that with Foles coming in. You've seen it with Ryan all season. So I actually feel quite sorry for Matt Ryan in the...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think what's happened to him this year is his fault. There is a large part of that in Denver that is down on Russell Wilson playing poorly. Nathaniel Hackett as well has been a disaster of a coach. And, yeah, as I say, sacked on Boxing Day. But... yeah, that Broncos team is just a car crash. But Russell Wilson is the one driving the car.
Go on.
I was just going to say, if they're going to give Russell Wilson another year, because of that huge contract. And if they bring in a coach and he starts to feel more settled, then I feel like it wouldn't be a massive surprise if they turned it around next year and we kind of forget about this year and write it off a little bit. It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I was gonna ask you guys, like, right, bear in mind one of them's just not gonna get fired because, you know, just lucky bastard. But who's the biggest disaster, Nathaniel Hackett or Josh McDaniels?
I think Hackett.
Hackett.
Really?
Because
yeah. I think, but Josh McDaniels has got a team and made the playoffs, added Davante Adams and who's it, Chandler Jones or something?
Yeah, Chandler Jones. Yeah.
And so pretty much you should be like deep playoff ready. I'm not saying you're going to win the whole thing, but you should be like, you know, at least on the tails of the other guys in the AFC.
I think.
And then you get worse.
McDaniels gets a bye because of the divisional strength, I think, as well.
Yeah, but he's losing games that he shouldn't be losing. Like,
I suppose the Broncos are in the same division.
The Broncos are in the same division. We can't do that. But the I think I give McDaniels more of a pass because of you see how New England is so bad on offense now that he's not there. And I don't know. I just don't rate Derek Carr that much. It depends how high on Carr you are.
Well, neither does his head coach because he's been benched for the rest of the year. And Jarrett.
Yeah, why? Right? Can you guys shed some light on that? Because I saw that I didn't really understand it. Are they doing that so that they can rest him and then trade him in the offseason and he doesn't get hurt? I don't understand what the point is.
Completely unnecessary benching. I think it's just a sign that they're like, right.
But he's played there for 8 years. Like, it just seems nuts to not
never,
let him
never missed a game aside from when he broke his it was his arm in that MVP season he had.
Yeah,
never missed a game.
Did he? Did he?
But this is why Josh McDaniels.
No, but
he probably asked like how can he help? But he's probably gonna hand it out like he's such a nice guy. He's gonna be handing out oranges and waters and things like that. Anyway, like I just don't understand that move. One, and it's two. It's like how to lose your quarterback. Fan base and also your star player with Davante Adams in one move. Because Davante Adams is pretty much, I would be surprised if they're going to ship out Derek Carr. He's already made noises and said effectively, like, I came here because of him. Like, it would not be here if it wasn't for him. And he's not having a good time. I mean, he's doing his job. Like, he's obviously performing. But I would be very surprised if I don't see a trade request. Because it just isn't working.
Well, I mean, if Davante Adams does that, more fool Davante, to be honest.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%. If you went to a team for one guy, if Adams kicks up a fuss about this Raiders thing, he's the architect of his own downfall. Because he could have maybe taken less money in Green Bay. He could have stuck around with Rodgers. I know he was frustrated with Rodgers because Rodgers was on the fence all the time. Am I retiring? Am I not? All that. So he's gone to the Raiders. But if he's gone to the Raiders for one guy and players, unfortunately, players, it's a freaking business for these owners and these coaches. And if things aren't working, they're going to do things to save their own skin. So if you're getting annoyed that they're trading the quarterback that you came for, it doesn't really matter what reason you came for. The team wanted you to be there to be an impact player. And they'll probably try and build around him at least as well over the next couple of years, as opposed to, right, McDaniels and Carr doesn't work well enough to be able to get in the playoffs in this division with the way it's set up at the moment. What if Denver get good as well? We're not in on Carr. I mean, Josh Jacobs sounds like he's going to be leaving, which is more worrying
to me. Yeah.
Like,
I think he's a free agent.
But did you see his post game interview?
Where, yeah, I did actually.
Where he
I
just
saw
said
that on,
he said like, oh, I'm
Instagram.
I bust my ass every day for this, and it's not working. And I'm fed up. He just said he was fed up with it all, which basically is a player saying, I'm out.
Yeah, but then isn't that down to Josh McDaniels? Like, this is, I mean, look, he's going to keep his job because, you know, the owner, Raiders owner, loves stars. Like, he's just, that's all he's about. Like, he signs stars or big names, and that's all he cares about. I don't know what it is, but the decision making there is terrible. Time after time after time, and he's the one who's responsible for it. But at the end of the day is that if you look at it really, Josh McDaniels has upset the whole apple cart of the team, the harmony, the progression that they made, and then to be pissing off your running back and your wide receiver and actual, you know, Derek Carr is a, I'm not saying he's elite, but he's above average.
Yeah.
So he'll get you there. Like, you know, he's a reliable quarterback. I don't think he's, obviously there's a few people that are in elite, but there's not much in it between him and, I don't know, you probably can disagree on this, but Joe Burrow's, like, I don't think there's that much daylight between them.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you were right with that. I don't think you're going to agree with this.
I was going to say, I was nodding along all the way, and then you threw that in. I think Derek Carr is a great example of, like, he's kind of flirted with being a top 10 quarterback sometimes. Maybe he's like 8 to 16 of kind of like quality. And he kind of does that nearly every year. And that is good. It could be good enough to win your Super Bowl if you have everything else in place. But it's kind of not enough when things go badly to pull you out of problems.
If he's at the 49ers, you're thinking Niners have got a way to win a ring.
100%. Yeah.
I hope he goes somewhere like that. Like, honestly.
Maybe the Jets.
He deserves.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the landing places at the moment are, what are we looking at? We're looking at the Colts, for sure.
The Jets. They need a QB.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly the Niners. You don't know what they're going to do with Lance and Garoppolo. And all of this for the Niners at the moment is more damning on Trey Lance than anything else. The fact that Brock Purdy steps in and is so able to mastermind the offense. Garoppolo,
yeah, but I don't
really
think that's his fault because he just got injured. Like,
no, but
he wasn't good though when he was playing.
He wasn't those two have been when he was playing.
But he
at the start
had players
of the year.
Missing. Like Brock Purdy's come in. I'm not knocking Brock because he's definitely done really well, and I think he's a better version than Jimmy G because he's actually more mobile. Mm. He actually gives them the option that they wanted with Trey Lance, but I just think that with Trey Lance, he's getting like kind of rough deal. Like, he started when the team half, you know, there's a lot of players that weren't there.
Yeah, you're right. Debo was injured. Kittle maybe was it?
Kittle was injured.
Kittle's just coming back.
McCaffrey wasn't there. You're right.
Yeah.
They were missing a lot of talent.
Brock Purdy's coming in like in a, it's like, you know, a Lamborghini ready to go. Like, you know, whereas when Trey Lance got there, it was just like, all right, okay, we're, you know, we have to put this car together.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I just think it's not really fair on him. Trey Lance
is like Mick Schumacher stepping into a Haas F1 car and then Brock Purdy suddenly decided to step into the Red Bull like at the end of the season. Yeah, yeah.
No, I know you're finding a way to talk about Max and I'm not going to bite. I'm not going to bite. I'm not. I hate him and I always will. But I'm going to reluctantly accept any form of, you know, guest or
I thought it was really bad that Lewis Hamilton didn't even vote in the drivers' poll for drivers of the year. I thought that was really sad. Only driver to abstain from the voting, which I thought was weird, but you know.
Let's just carry on with it.
Do you want me to segue our way out of this, Dre?
Yeah, please, for the love of God.
We touched on the Jets and I was just thinking, I was looking at the schedule left, I was looking at the playoff picture emerging. And do you remember, if we only go back like 5 weeks, how open the NFC East looked? And then since then, the Dolphins lost 4 in a row, the Jets lost 4 in a row, and the Pats lost 4 in 5, and the Bills have won 6 straight. Like, that is how quickly football can change. That was the most competitive division. And now you look at it, and the Bills have they got 12 wins or 11? Mm. They're 4 wins ahead, I think. What? Of the Dolphins, which is crazy.
Tua could stop throwing to the opposite team. That would be nice. That would have been really helpful for the Dolphins because his Christmas Day performance was a disaster.
What is going to go on with Tua? How many concussions has he had? He needs to think about his like future as a person, let alone a football player.
Yeah.
If he comes back and he gets another concussion, isn't that 4 in a year?
It'd be.
I don't think he's franchise quarterback now. I just think that's going to be in any franchise's head. You're not going to be giving him big money. So again, enter Derek Carr. Like, you got. Actually, no, they've
that's a good spot.
Given up. They've given up everything. Yeah. I don't think they've got much left in the
capital
in the kitty.
Yeah,
but it's funny because actually at one point I was saying to Ollie that these guys are contenders, for the AFC. Because at the end of the day they hung in there with the Bills. I know Bills had a couple of people out, as the Bills fans always mention. But at the end of the day, the game's the game. That's it. Here's what it is. You lost. So you don't give Eagles fans any reason to be like, oh, yeah, we would have won if... No, you lost.
I've not said that we would have won if Hurts, but everybody else has, so I don't need to, so it's fine.
No, but Dolphins, I'm quite disappointed for the Dolphins because, like, literally, they put all their chips in the middle of the table, and unfortunately, it just looks like it's going to peter out.
But you've got the Dolphins are so well set up. It's everything but the quarterback. And I'm very jealous to have a head coach like Mike McDaniels at the Dolphins. He looks like a really fun guy to play.
What's wrong with the one you got?
Well, he'll lose a game of basketball to Jalen Hurts. Apparently, he'll lose a running race to Jalen Hurts, and all of the athletic ability of Jalen Hurts means that he heals faster than everybody else as well.
Oh yeah, what was that? He was talking to a reporter, right? So why was he trying to compare a sports reporter to a professional athlete? I was very confused at that. Was that?
Have you seen that? Not Flash. Have you seen Spider-Man Home, the new one?
No.
You haven't seen Spider-Man?
Is that the cartoon one that's coming out?
No, Tom Holland.
The ones with Tom Holland in it.
Oh yeah, I've seen one of them. Yeah.
Well, you know Flash in there, the jerk guy that's in there.
Yeah.
That's their head coach. That's who he is. He is the guy that all the cool people hang around with.
Okay.
Just because they want to use his pool, and then he's do anything to impress them, and so this guy here. He's a douche. And he literally, I literally said that to Ollie. I think whatever time he saw it in the middle of the night, he just saw that message, like just that with douche in it. I think he had to work out whether I'm talking about him or the head coach.
As sports journalists, though, that does that stuff like really rile you when, a reporter asks a kind of reasonable question and then a coach or a player just goes off like that.
I couldn't tell if Sirianni was like annoyed and kind of having
trying to be funny.
But like,
it seemed insulting. It seemed like a very rude thing to say.
But he thinks you're not the athlete. The way it is that he hangs around with the athletes and then he thinks he's cool by association. Well, you're not. You're not cool. And he runs his mouth more than any coach there is. Like, Mike McDaniel is a funny guy. Like, he's that, Ollie and I discussed this already. That person you didn't realize was so cool. Like, he's a hipster. And, oh, cool. That's cool. We thought he was a nerd. But actually, you're kind of cool. And you're funny, too. And you come into your own. Because I loved him from when he did that Mike Jones thing when he was in the 49ers. When he went, who? Mike Jones, he did that. Wicked. I actually love this guy. But this guy, Sirianni, is a douche. He is. He tries to be cool and he's not. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to come to London next year and I'm going to have to be like...
You'll have your arm around him and you'll be Nick, such a great head coach. As a Giants fan, I look at what you've done with Philadelphia and...
Never will I say that, first and foremost, never. But he is like one of these guys that just like thinks he's cool because he's in with the cool kids and the cool kids are just literally just using him because, they can use his car, then go in his pool, use his barbecue, use his house when his parents aren't in. You're not cool. Just do your job and just be quiet.
He does do his job, though, Dre. Does do his job.
Yeah, he is.
I'm looking at records. Mike McDaniel is looking a bit weak right now. But the
thing is, right, calm down, Eagles fans, because you don't really play against anyone. And whenever you do, you lose. So I tell you what's coming. The winds have changed.
49ers are coming for you. I see. Okay.
Look. You can't blame Eagles fans and the Eagles for the NFL schedulers. Like, we can only beat who is in front of us. And we've done that 13 of the 15 times this year. And that's more than anybody else has done that this year as well. So we can only just sit there and defeat whichever, you know, ragamuffin team is put in front of us. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the Dallas Cowboys getting a lucky win when we didn't have our starting quarterback, whether it's the New York Giants being handed the ultimate ass whooping. You know, I mean, you know, that's just what we got to do at the end of the day. But I completely agree with you that Sirianni is like the least charismatic guy trying to be charismatic. That's the thing. He's just trying too hard. It was like that Flowers thing last year when he was like, oh, you just got to water the flowers and we're all a bunch of special flowers and the garden's going to grow. And it's like, nah, shut up. Like, that's not inspiring fighting talk. That's you doing your gardening like when you've retired, mate. Like, just give it a second. Like, wait. But I will bleed for you, Nick. 100%. If you just get Philadelphia to Arizona for me, I will retract anything and everything I've ever said about you in my entire life. That will be it.
This is Ollie all over, just a professional troll merchant. You know, Dre, that he wore that Alpine top to England, France. He came to watch that at my house, and he wore an Alpine top. And he's
what? Constant.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to. I didn't mean to. That was an accident.
He did. Because I've just been joking, because Ollie barely supports England anyway.
Forza Italia. Yep.
Yeah, and supports.
You got two of us here, bro. You got, unfortunately. I'm not in there. I can't do the blind optimism with the same average players all the time. Little segue of into football, but it literally is delusional world, and it's just like, let's just be honest. There's not one player would get on any of the finalist belt bench at all. And it's just like the same thing all the time. So if the expectations were low and then you're surprised, just like America, how far you get, then I would be like, cool. But it's just like the whole it's coming home and everything like that. But yeah. I know he did that on purpose. I know he trolled you.
He did. Disagree on that.
Unbelievable.
It was a real thing. All the tops
slander
he could have worn. It was quite funny as well, because Ollie did, just to sing some praises to Ollie, he's a good guy, I promise the listeners, he's a good guy most of the time. He did bring a bottle of champagne with him, and we opened it when England scored the first goal, and then we had some very sad champagne by the end of the game. There's nothing worse than two guys sitting there drinking sad champagne. That's not what you want. You want happy champagne.
The best thing was is that I brought that champagne for Dave and his nice wife to have over Christmas, really get on with Kate and everything. It's like, this will be a nice thing. Like, I'm coming over, staying the night. Here's a bottle around Christmas time. Enjoy. And as soon as that England goal went in, Dave's like, should we get the champagne? Kate was out. She didn't get any of it whatsoever.
Good thing she doesn't listen to this.
So, yeah, there will be no second bottle coming for Kate, I'm afraid, either. We're running low. We're running low on the fizzy stuff now. Anything that you want to say you're regretful for as we approach the end of the year, Dre, Dave, in 2022? I know we did the...
What, in life or in NFL-wise?
Well, I mean, we're getting like things off our chests at this point with everything. So if you want to go within life, like, you know, making friends with me around about October a year ago, that would be one, I think, that you could probably...
Yeah, you know what? Like, literally, me becoming friends with Ollie is like, you know when you've seen Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know when the guy comes down and you say, you got to shut it down. Here's my permit. And they're like, if you let it, you shut this down, it's gonna cause chaos.
Yeah.
Shut it down, and brought out the paper. This is exactly what happened. It's like, you know, me inviting Ollie into my world. It's just a constant trolling of all sports.
Yeah.
Of my Liverpool football team, of my Giants, and then where I think I can get away with it, Formula One. Like, he's everywhere trolling me.
Stop picking easily trollable teams. I mean, that's
omni trollable.
your own fault. I bit my tongue when you were talking about average players and delusional blind faith. And I was about to say, why do you support Liverpool then? But I didn't say that because I thought I'd just let it and leave it. But, you know, you bring the worst out in me. No, I meant like...
Well, Dre, I've been friends with Ollie since we were like 12 years old and it still feels like that. I'm 35 now. So, you know, but I, you know, I guess I've got some kind of Stockholm syndrome at this point because I keep coming back.
No, I meant like for the NFL for 2022. Has there been any regrets? Because we did our apology podcast the other week, which Jazz.
Oh, you did?
We did an apology podcast, yeah. Mm. I apologized to a
Who
number.
Who did Jazz apologize to?
Jazz didn't apologize to anyone because he's like Conor McGregor.
Yeah, we didn't get much out of him.
Yeah.
I think I got him to apologize for being so low on the Chiefs because he was desperately wrong about that.
Yeah.
He thought they'd finish third or fourth in the division.
But who did you guys apologize to?
I apologized to Josh Allen and to Jalen Hurts. I think I
Josh Allen. What did you say about Josh Allen?
That he is not good enough in the NFL because he wasn't for his first 2 years, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, Josh Allen's amazing." I was like, "Oh my god, Josh Allen throws like so many freaking interceptions; it's ridiculous." But yeah, last year's playoffs and this year, I will say he is a very, very good quarterback in the NFL now. He wasn't before, but he is now.
He's been very good for quite a while. who did I apologize to? I think I squeezed one in there for the Giants, Dre, because
good man, you
I
see?
Didn't see them doing anything. I thought they would probably be top five draft pick, not a playoff team. So
they're not
super impressed by them. Well, they look like they are now. They're going to get in.
But they've never looked like a playoff team. Like
the whole of the East is in the playoffs right now, by the way. The commies are in as well. What's going on?
It's so mental that. It's so mental. They need to shut down the number of teams that are allowed in the playoffs, I think. we have seen that there's too many games.
They need not easy run-ins for some teams. Yeah. Well, I think I have to... Can I just say who I've got like New Year's gripes with?
Yeah, for sure.
But then also I'll apologise to, you know, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll because I wanted a different coach. Obviously, I don't need to go into that, you know, can of worms. But I wanted a different coach.
Who did you want, Dre?
No, listen, you ain't getting me banned. I'm too close to getting a free game. I wanted them to go to a different direction. I was disappointed with the direction at the time that they went into. But my Lord, like that, I owe them their apology because they have literally just changed the fortunes of my team around and the optimism of the fans. And I feel that New York is back and the NFL is a better place for it. You can't have New York, both New York teams suck.
Yeah,
you know, it's actually been a quite exciting season because, you know, New Yorkers run their mouths. I'm a Jace Londoner / New Yorker / Miamian who's running
/ San Francisco. What
San Bay Area / Bay Area.
Right, if we can talk about the Giants, what do you see happening next year with Daniel Jones? It seems like he's played well enough to keep his job, but he's not going to be a top guy. So like
no, I think they should franchise him. I think personally.
Okay.
And then keep Saquon. Now, I spoke to some other Giants fans and they were like, no, well, they should make an offer for Saquon. And if he wants to get big money, then obviously he goes with our blessings. And I think we'll make such a doubt. Like the next season would be like completely terrible if we do that. I think that us having a weapon like Saquon, not that everything goes for him, because we've got some new guys who've actually come in. Like sometimes I didn't even know who they're throwing to. I'm like, who's this guy?
Well, the receiving core was so depleted even when they were in the UK. Like,
but like we pulled out victories, and it's for me, it feels football wise, it feels like when Klopp first joined Liverpool, where we had not the best players, but he, you know, they would run through walls for him, and I just feel like they've got the camaraderie with the team from everything I saw in the press conferences with the fan base, like everyone's just really, really loving it. So I if I was them, I would just franchise Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones has proved himself that he should be the, you know, quarterback for next season. Definitely. I was not, if anything, he deserves the biggest apology because, like, literally I was out on him last year. He doesn't turn over the ball that often. You know, he's been quite efficient, and he's got legs. He's done everything he possibly could to keep his job. Saquon's just a star, complete. So that's what I'm hoping that they do. If they don't do that, then you can have to go with what they think, because obviously they've proved me right, proved me wrong so far, and then they're on a good track. But I would like them to keep him.
I think it depends who's available, on what money, and they like in the draft, doesn't it? Because if they get an opportunity to upgrade at QB, then I think they should. But if they have to go in next year with Daniel Jones, then that's okay as well. So it's like, that's a fairly good position to be in, really.
I would still worry just a little bit about... I mean, I think losing Saquon is obviously horrendous for the Giants because he has been the heartbeat of the offense to a large part. But I do worry just a little bit about the whole... Daniel Jones doesn't get anybody excited. And if the Giants aren't willing to give Saquon a load of money when he's been a little injury prone, shall we say, even this year, there's been a few, like, you know, knocks and bruises around that doesn't make you think he's still like the ultimate bell cow that you would have said, you know, 3 years ago before that big injury. So, like, as a New Yorker, if you're a New York NFL fan or trying to decide which team you're going to pick in New York, I'd look at both teams right now and I'd be looking at the Jets because of the young, great talent that they've had this year. You know, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson. Like, that's a team, I think, set up more to have a longer, good future. I think with the Giants right now, I still, and this isn't me being, like, abusive to you, Dre, or anything like that. It's genuinely my opinion. It's like, I would worry that this year could be a slight flash in the pan if you then don't go and get Barkley back, or Barkley has another knock that then leaves him out. And
yeah, but
you've got Daniel Jones and you've got rid of Kadarius Toney, who, you know, I really liked as a receiver, and I guess wasn't used well enough because he's done okay since going to the Chiefs this year. I don't know. There's not enough pop for a New York team, I reckon, with the Giants compared to a Jets team, for instance.
But you bring up the Jets. I mean, the Jets are similar in a way that they run through their defense. And this year, the Giants' defense has been really, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
With like Thibodeau and other players stepping up. So I don't know if, like, the offense isn't there, but it feels like this defense, the way they're playing and the players they've got, that could be around for the next few years. So if you're using that as the base for the Jets being good, then I think that applies to the Giants as well.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, the Jets have got more on offense in terms of weapons, but I don't know.
It's a good point.
We're missing a couple of wide receivers. I think we're missing a stout wide receiver, someone to take the attention away from.
And a shutdown DB of some sort as well would be useful.
Yeah, but I think we've got a very, very good defense. Like, we got to a stage where it's like, if we are on our, you know, this or goal line, I always feel quite confident that we're going to, you know, stand our ground. Like, there's not many teams that have come and just dominated us. I would say probably Eagles, and for whatever reason, the Lions came and just really just, like, handed us their arse. Like, you know, but there hasn't been many other teams. So if you look at the start of the season with Derrick Henry keeping him quiet, we kept, I forgot the 49ers running back. My brain's dead now.
It was pre-McCaffrey.
McCaffrey, yeah. So McCaffrey... He was kept quiet as well. So I just think that, you know, they have to renew Dexter Lawrence as well, who's done really, really well.
Mm.
You know, just find a way to keep them all. Like, if it's at all to all possible. Yeah. But I think that I'm hoping that Saquon's not just going to go anywhere else, obviously, just for money. I think I'm hoping that there's, like, some type of hometown discount or something that can kind of work out. But
mates rates, yeah.
I think we need it, because the thing is that we're not that far away from what I've seen this season. You know, the record is what the record is, because it's not like luck.
What's your situation in terms of, because you had the most expensive wide receiver room coming into this year. The contracts for like Galladay and Slayton and stuff? Like, can you move some of those guys on? And then, like, Galladay is a non-factor. Like, is he still under contract next year? Or can you cut?
I think they could have to swallow it this year, and then next year they can look to cut him. But it's still, there's still going to be a, like, you know, against the cap. But I think from team morale and team spirit, like, you can't be having someone like him there who's just like, I should be playing regardless, no matter what happens. Like, even if I'm not performing in training, like, I should still get to play because of, you know, what I assigned. It's just like, he's the last of the Gettleman signings. He's the last of the buffoonery that was there before. You know, just like,
such a good word.
Fuzzy bear, bloody, you know, with his bloody whizzy tie, making deals and making jokes, and he's the one who let Odell go. All right, okay, can I get onto my gripes just really quickly?
Yeah, go for it. We like hate on this podcast. Go for it.
Right, okay. So on my list of people that should the wall of shame, let's say, I'm going to just start off the top of my head. Kyler Murray is number one.
Nice guy.
Kyler Murray is, like, literally... I just feel that he's a spoiled, insecure. I'm trying to think of something. Please don't send him over next year. But I just think that he lost me a little while ago. You know, as a quarterback, I thought that he's got a decent talent, but I just feel that he's just like a bit of a one trick pony. It's just like, you can't always, like, you know, hustle and just see what's going to happen. I just never feel like it's a scheme that's a planned scheme. I feel like it's just always on the whim. You know, I just think they got away with it last season, and then obviously got found out when it comes to the playoffs. But when I saw him coming off of the contract, and I think that contract was signed for a reason, because at the end of the day is that you don't study enough, you know, and then he made them take it off, and he didn't see, you know, he didn't try to, like, play it down or even just, like, ride it out, because obviously you got paid a lot of money, dude, like guaranteed money, but you still were, like, snippy in the media about it, and in the unfollowing, you know, the Cardinals, just like petulant childish behavior. But the one that I couldn't take is when he came off the field and he's just like telling his head coach, calm the fuck down. Like, like that there, I just think you're just on the list. But they're tied to it. They're tied to this guy. But if you see the locker room's not behind him in any formal way. So I don't know. That's a mess that I don't know if they're going to be able to repair. I don't know what you guys think of that. That's my first one.
Always been overhyped, in my opinion. I think I've been on the anti-Kyler Murray train for a while now.
You have.
With the, it's just getting an athlete as opposed to getting a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I think he epitomizes something you really, he's the ultimate run first QB, Ollie.
Yeah.
But also, I think that what you don't like as well is you tend to like passing quarterbacks the most. You like QBs that make good decisions and that can control at the line of scrimmage. And if you're going to have a running quarterback like a Hurts or an Allen, it needs to be, like you're saying, Dre, it needs to be focused, where everything is designed, where, like, if the QB is going to run it, you've got options before the run, you've got options after the run. Like, it fits in with what you're trying to do. And you're right, it's just scattershot. With Kyler Murray, it just feels like every play is just taken off. He might do something amazing, or he's going to throw an interception, or he's going to throw it out of bounds, or he's going to get hit behind the line of scrimmage.
It's just chaos.
It's chaos.
Yeah.
And it epitomizes what Ollie hates about QBs. So it doesn't, he's 100% with you, Dre. He doesn't like it.
We used to play American football on the beach at university. And the play was, all right, open on one, which is just everybody get open. And that feels like what the Arizona Cardinals are playing with Kyler Murray. It's just snap the ball, somebody run, and we'll either chuck it up or I'll just run it for 5-10 yards or something like that. That's all they do. I don't know. There is a little bit of me, though, that feels a bit sorry for Kyler Murray as well. I don't know what it is. It's just, maybe he's got people around him that aren't giving him the right advice as well or something like that. He just seems like a little... He seems quite lost at this point. Like, when you saw him on the sidelines of games this year, he doesn't really know what to do with himself. You know, you see other, like, QBs, and they've got, like, the earpiece in, and they're, like, talking with the coaches and everything. Yeah. You don't see that from him, which may be detrimental on him. That could completely be a massive negative on him. Or he's just a bit like, well, I don't know what to do if I'm not playing American football or playing Call of Duty. Like, those are the only two things I have in my life.
He doesn't seem like a well-rounded guy, like a Burrow or, like... I don't know. I mean, he's
even Lamar on the sideline always looks, you know, when Huntley's been in, you know, it looks like he's like passing
on
advice. They
look mature, they
look
up for it, they look like wise above their years. You're right, he looks lost when things are going badly.
I don't know. Yeah. There's a little bit of feeling. I don't know why I've got this sympathy. I think it's just because he was quite nice to me this year.
Like in a very... Oh, you can't say anything to me again.
I know.
Dave, it does, like, when you meet the players, like, it's easy for me to be able to talk trash about Baker Mayfield. That's coming, don't worry. But at the end of the day, is when you meet some of these people, you realize obviously they're human beings. And I'm not going on at Kyler Murray about, you know, just to rag on him. I'm just talking about what I've seen. I'm not talking about his personality or anything.
Like, I completely agree.
I thought that it was, and it's lucky that there was other things that were happening at the same time, and the NFL has pretty much been the most exciting season this season has been than any other season I can remember. So there's always been like three bits of news that are to be discussed each week. But when I saw him come off the field and do that, I just thought, you disrespectful piece of crap. Like, that for me... It's not something you're supposed to be doing.
I'm not having his personality, but you look like human garbage when you did that kind of...
So I think, so to correct you a little bit, I think what you're saying is you are talking about his personality in a negative way, but it's his fault for bringing his personality into the game in that way. Like that, and that's fair enough to get criticized for that. You open yourself up. He's not a professional. He's not just getting on with the job and doing his best, which is what we kind of want, especially from these younger quarterbacks, because it feels like you haven't earned the right to, I don't know, almost have like a big personality. If you're going to come out and make like big waves, you need to back it up with Pro Bowls, with playoff wins, with winning records. And he can't do that yet.
I don't like big, braggadocious people who have not actually backed up anything. So if we're going to another sport, you know, you've got like Ja Morant, like from the Grizzlies, who talks a lot of shit all the time. And he was asked, like, okay, well, what teams are you looking at? Are you fear of facing? And he said, oh, I'm only fearing the Boston Celtics. And that's in a different division. So therefore, the division that you're in is like, there's no one you can actually you fear. You're kind of looking past him, and you haven't got a ring. You haven't got a Super Bowl ring. You haven't got a... Well, you wouldn't have a Super Bowl ring.
That'd be very impressive if he got a Super Bowl ring in the NBA.
It would be. He came out as a
all-time athlete.
But if you haven't got a ring to be, or even a finals appearance that you can actually talk shit. Like, I just don't like him. Michael Parsons, like, you could be a great player, but you haven't won anything. You haven't been to a Super Bowl. Stop talking.
Yeah.
It's like that type of stuff, that braggadocious. And it maybe it's the old man, get off my lawn and me. Like, you know, but it's like the people like, again, we're going to, it's only a matter of time before I get there. Baker Mayfield. It's like back to being braggadocious Baker Mayfield. Mate, you're a placeholder. You won't be there next season. And then it's pretty much the same thing that happens with Baker Mayfield. He gets himself comfortable, starts talking shit, starts walking around with the swagger like he owns the place, and then he starts throwing picks all over the place. He won't be there next season. He'll be back up because Matthew Stafford is far, far, far better than him. I don't know if he's going to... Has he got problems with his spine or something?
I reckon Stafford walks away
Stafford
at the end
might
of this
walk,
year.
Yeah.
I think he retires. I don't think
there should be... Anchoring to Baker Mayfield, I think that's a accident waiting to happen.
I can see it.
He is the average.
I think they'll keep him, and then they'll bring in competition. Whether he wins the
Derek Carr, go for Derek Carr, please. If anything, Derek Carr is better than him by far.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure.
Carper Cup.
So is that?
Yeah, I like that.
I just think that there's a time where you talk, and then there's a time where you actually just learn. And I think that Daniel Jones is an example where, you know, he's got a bit more confidence. Like this season, I saw him like got a bit frustrated with one of the wide receivers, Robinson, when he dropped the ball. But he didn't like. He was like, "Oh, come on, man! Like you could catch that." Like more. But it wasn't like ragging
as opposed
talk.
To
yeah,
yeah, being an arsehole, yeah.
And you know what? As much as I hate the Eagles, you know, you got to look at their QB. Like their QB is an example of how you should conduct
real
yourself.
Real professional, yeah.
Dak Prescott, another one. How you conduct yourself, and people talking mad smack about Dak Prescott. Like this is for me personally. I might be too Patriots like for my own liking, but I just like people just doing the work.
Yeah,
doing the work. And then if you're Tom Brady, then you can go off on the sidelines if you want.
Yeah. Do you think some of that comes with being a number one draft pick as well? Like Mayfield came into the league thinking he was the best thing, and that was he was reinforced of that opinion by being the number one draft pick. Weathers with Hurts, was he a second round pick? And then Dak was a fourth round pick. Maybe that makes you a bit more humble. You appreciate what you got. I don't know.
I just think it's that so many of these guys, whether they're first or seventh or whatever, have spent so many years, you know, top dog in college, top dog in high school. You've just been a winner and been told you're great so often. And some people go one way with it and some people go the other. And you see it on Twitter with people in like, you know, regular ass people talking about their jobs. Some people will be like, "Oh, I'm just really honored to have been given this opportunity to do this." And other people will be like, "Oh, all of my hard work has paid off. It just shows like I've worked so hard to get this opportunity." And it's like, there's just two ways to act in those situations when a big moment comes like that, whether it's getting into the NFL or stuff. And some people need to have that attitude of, "I'm the top dog. I'm the big dog. Don't throw shade at me. Look at what I'm doing." As that motivator. That's the kind of asshole nature that makes them great athletes, like a Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, who's often being considered like a grumpy bastard compared to Lionel Messi and all that kind of stuff. But that grumpiness almost is what drives Cristiano Ronaldo to be the incredible athlete that he's been for all this time. And I just think because as a quarterback, you're in front of the media more than any other player and more than anybody aside from maybe the head coach, you just get to see a lot more of that with those players that do have that other kind of less enjoyable edge to them that makes them also why they're
it's
so
all about
great.
Winning as well though, isn't it? Because I would say Josh Allen and Burrow are Patrick Mahomes is a lot quieter. I would say he's more in that kind of get on with it professional.
Well, his brother and his wife do all
his
the,
family aren't, yeah. But Allen and Burrow, you could say they're more on the Mayfield side of like, here I am. Like, I am the one in the room. I'm the one on the pitch. Like, but they get results. So it's really when things go wrong and they're not playing very well, these players look really, really bad. Like a Murray, like a Mayfield. They look bad when it goes wrong. When it goes right, you can be a Burrow and say whatever you want because you go... Yeah,
but I think that... There's a difference between being what we call on FIFA, like a leader of men. Like, you know, I think there's a difference between you leading a person by example. I think Josh Allen definitely does that. Now, sometimes a bit too much, like for his own Super Bowl chances, like he would take on, you know, challenges that he doesn't need to do.
Yeah.
You know, and talk shit to the DBs. But like when he's off the field, he's quite professional. He never says any braggadocious stuff, but he'll talk to the DB, but he's not, and he's G-ing his team up. Like even when there was that potential fight the other day with, I forgot, it was against the Dolphins when he got knocked out of bounds. And he did, obviously, you're going to get up and be like, "What the hell are you doing?" And he would walk off and another team would, you know, the rest of your teammates should be you know, arguing for you, should be.
Not in Denver.
not in Denver. They're going to leave you on the floor, apparently. But I mean, I think that's a cultural problem as well. I think I think if you're a person that actually conducts yourself in the right way, then people are going to lead and follow you. People are going to follow you because you've shown that you can actually lead. But I think... Who's the other person you said? You said Josh Allen and who?
Burrow.
Oh, Burrow. Yeah, Burrow's another one as well. Burrow does he's got swag. And I think that he's already proven himself because he's got them lot to the Super Bowl. And he's led that team from being like zero contenders to now being one of the contenders again. So, but they don't, they're not talking, they're not like Baker Mayfield talking shit about other QBs, other players.
Yeah.
You know, just like, do you see my point? So it's like, it's as I said, them. Like, I think, that's what you follow. You don't follow people that are just like talking. And I think that that is a, maybe it's a generational thing where people feel like they've got to do this Instagram type of talking before they do anything. And Michael Parsons is one of them because he will learn because he'll get bounced out of the playoffs, be it by the Eagles or the 49ers, whatever happens. You ain't winning no Super Bowl. And then what are you going to say then? So it's just like, you just make a...
I don't like you saying that, Dre. That feels like... that feels like hubris there.
No, Eagles are not going to be winning the Super Bowl. As long as... I don't care whatever happens.
No, you saying as long Dallas as they don't win won't... It. You saying Dallas won't win it, I've literally... Like, that's visions in my head of a parade taking
place.
Well,
you think the Cowboys are going to win it?
Nah, mate. No.
I think... If I'm being honest, and I'm no joshing... Like, no, just like, you know, I'll be completely serious. I do feel that the people that you guys fear are the 49ers because they have everything.
Yeah.
And I think there was a little
right now.
There was a little bit of a parade when Debo went off injured. I thought that you guys thought you had a chance and he's come back. Mm. And they still beat down, you know, without him, they still beat down teams. So then you got McCaffrey. They got who's the other person?
Kittle.
No, the other running back. I forgot his name now, but he was decent too.
They
He's
changed
decent.
Running backs so much.
I was going to say, well, half of them are in Miami now, Mostert and Wilson. So.
Jeff Wilson's gone. Mostert's gone, and there was another one that they had. Like he's like they've got a team.
Yeah,
there's nothing that they haven't got. So I just think from and most of all, obviously, defense wins championships. And Bosa's playing out of his mind, and they've got like the best defenses. I don't really see a weakness. Purdy doesn't give the ball away unnecessarily, and he's giving them an extra option with running. So pretty much match for match, like with what Hurts does and what Purdy's done so far in the two and a half games that he's played.
Yeah, two games.
He's shown you he could actually do the same thing as Jalen Hurts. So I don't really know where the weaknesses is.
I don't think the Eagles have really got a weakness either, though, I'd say. That's why that could be such an amazing championship game. As a kind of neutral, like I'd probably prefer the Eagles to win. But I also would like Kyle Shanahan to win a Super Bowl. So I'd be pretty happy. If that was a championship game, as a semi-neutral, that would be the best one.
That was
for
like
sure.
The only thing in their favour is the weather. That's it. Because it'll be at their ground. That's it.
Yeah,
that's the only advantage they've got, but they've got dogs there that they really have. So I as I said before, this is why Michael Parsons shouldn't be talking so much as well, because you're gonna have to face one of these guys, and when you lose again, what happens?
Yeah, it's a good point.
And he was kept at bay for at least 2.5 quarters by the Eagles in the first game. Parsons didn't have much in the second either, the other week on Minshew.
I would have liked to see you guys with Hurts playing them, but I would have liked to see what happened then.
Yeah. Well, it's quite funny in that like Dallas and Philadelphia have both been missing. One of the teams have been missing their starting quarterback when they've faced each other this year. So if they meet in the playoffs, we'll hopefully get Dak against
Hurts. That's
going to
be good. Divisional round. Yeah. You're going to get them, Ollie. It's going to be that'll be a great game as well, though. We've got some good playoff games, even though there's a couple of wildcard teams that I really don't want to see much of. That looks good. It looks really good on paper. You think about we got the Bills and the Bengals playing in the regular season on Monday. That could be an amazing playoff game.
Yeah.
Amazing playoff game. The Chiefs against kind of any of those top teams in the AFC would be awesome. We've got some good stuff coming up.
I do like the NFL schedulers, because I was talking about it the other week, I think, when we were talking about potential AFC championship games, and I said I'd love to see the Bills-Bengals because we've not seen yet. We've not seen Allen against Burrow, completely forgetting that they had this this game in second to last week of the season. So we do get to see like round one of it. And if it's as good as a Chiefs-Bills game, it's like, oh, the AFC is going to be such a good fun playoff watch.
The thing is with a game like that is I can't imagine it not being good. Like I could imagine a 49ers Eagles game, maybe where the QBs don't fire and we get more of a defensive game. I just can't see not having a banger with Burrow and Allen going at it.
Yeah.
It's locked in to be 30 points each and comes down to a field goal.
Are you guys comfortable with like Purdy being put on, you know, not pedestal, but like putting on the
Purdy
same
pedestal?
Levels?
I like that.
Yeah, like he's been put on this platform that is like he's just as good as everyone else there.
Yeah, I'm fine with it at the moment because I think everybody's looking at it as Purdy is doing exactly what he needs to do in a system that is built for any competent quarterback to succeed. I don't think anybody's saying like Purdy is the man. I think everybody's just saying you are perfect for what you're being asked to do right now. You're doing your job. And that's exactly what you were talking about of like, just do the job that's required of you. It's so Belichickian. It's dismally Belichickian of just do whatever you need to do. If you do what you need to do and the guy next to you does what he needs to do, then we're going to get what we need to do done. And that's what Purdy's doing. Full credit to him. As I say, I do think, even you talking about the injuries and stuff, but I do think it doesn't sit well for Trey Lance that Garoppolo and Purdy both come in and make this Niners team with the additionals, obviously, that have come back from injury and that have been brought in look this good.
I don't see them bringing him. I know he signed a new contract, but I just don't see them investing in him anymore, like, because he's always getting injured in some form of way. Now you have Trey Lance, you have Brock Purdy, like you have exactly what you'd be looking for.
If Purdy takes them deep in the playoffs, who do you start week one next year, Lance or Purdy?
Purdy,
it'll be Purdy. Yeah.
I haven't seen that. Like literally everything that he's done, like he looks like he's been playing for years, and he's given him something extra. You know, like I don't know what that technical term is, but like there's a throw to Ayuk, you know, bottom left corner of the with double coverage, to Ayuk, and it's like that's not throws of someone that is like trash.
Regular, yeah.
He doesn't do reckless things. He takes care of the ball. You can see, like, literally, you know, he reads the defenses very well. Like, when he looks like he's going to get rushed, he throws the ball away. He hasn't done anything that I think, you're a bit showboaty here. And he doesn't seem like because he's constantly reminded that he was the last pick of the draft. Like, I think he's aware of his place and he has to earn and win that place. But I'm being honest, like, if whatever happened with Daniel Jones, if they was to move for Brock Purdy instead, I'll be very happy. Very, very happy.
He hasn't played a really good defense yet, Purdy. That's the other thing that I'd look at. Three games.
The Dolphins.
Dolphins came in against the Dolphins, though.
But you came in raw after.
Bucks, Seahawks, Commanders. Like
Seahawks is different. Is a good defense as well.
It's all right. But like I'm more looking at like a playoff. Like Micah Parsons potentially is still a potential game wrecker, for instance, for Dallas.
Cowboys, Eagles,
I think the Eagles defense as well, you know, Brandon Graham's one off 10 sacks, which would be the first team in NFL history to have four players with double digit sacks kind of thing. I think there's that secondary in Philadelphia has been really good as well. I think there will be a real test for Purdy coming down the line. Unless the other thing is they're talking about maybe like Jimmy G gets healthy during the playoffs and comes and takes the job back, which I don't know if I like that one. It reeks of Brady and Breeze when Brady was benched for the AFC Championship game when Breeze came back in that first ever year of Brady, and they were like Steelers away, we're gonna put Drew Breeze back in, and then Breeze had a bump, Brady came back in that game, and then Brady started the Super Bowl. But yeah, Drew Bledsoe.
I think that's a good point. I'm thinking of like Shanahan is I don't think he has that much loyalty in terms of QBs, not in a negative way, but I think it is the best one plays at whatever time. Like, you even just look at this season, he's not afraid to just move on. And like, they brought Jimmy G back in to the lineup. He was gone, he came back in, which is a credit to him as a professional. We're talking about other players being professional and just getting on with it. It was amazing to see him do that. A lot of players would have been like, no, stuff you, I'm not playing for you anymore, kind of thing.
Especially when they had him training on his own and things like that. And you're like,
Yeah. I think that Kyle Shanahan is just a pragmatist. Like, he just sees them as chess pieces in a kind of way.
Yeah.
And like, he's, whatever's the best option going into next year, he'll make it. I don't think he'll just do it. Obviously, if Purdue won a Super Bowl or they get to a championship game and he plays well along the way, then you would have thought that's enough currency. But I wouldn't, I think he'll just do whatever he feels like is best. I don't think he's going to be withholden to a kind of QB.
But I think that what they'll do is that, like, again, is like stick to what works, which is not letting Brock Purdy like kind of expose himself too much, like literally just do the minimal amount you have to actually do. And I'm just looking at the depth chart. Like, we're not even talking about, you know, Kyle Juszczyk. Like, you got a team there. Like, you know,
I was
thinking about Elijah Mitchell. He's the one but he's on IR. But they've got just weapons. I'm not seeing any weaknesses.
McCaffrey, Kittle, Ayuk,
Debo.
Debo, like, come check, on, you are not
that's
stopping
five. That. It feels like that's five Pro Bowl caliber players on one off.
You're not stopping them, like, in any form of way.
Sorry, the Eagles have got eight players at the Pro Bowl, so it's fine. That's more.
Yeah, so you know what? This Lily level, this Lily White, games you've been playing are going to come to an end soon, and I'll be there.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've been very humble and miserable throughout this season. I've not genuinely enjoyed large parts of this Eagles run. It's been very tough, and every time I do decide to try and enjoy it, it goes very badly.
There's a few messages that you sent me that say otherwise.
Yeah, that's true. But that's more enjoying the Giants' downfall than the Eagles' uprise every so often. And I have to give Scott some rubbish and Richard Graves some rubbish as well, because Graves, even on Christmas Day, sent me the gif of Richard Graves of Sky Sport, formerly of Sky Sports, NFL Network man of the shield now, as I like to call him.
Oh, yeah.
The gif that he designed.
He has his own gif, which is a desert, American desert sunrise behind him, and he's got a Dallas Cowboys cap on, and he's got his head down, so you just see the star. No, this is a gif that he sends me after every single Cowboys win. and then it's just his head coming up and a horrible, horrible smile of like, Cowboys country. And it makes me really hate Mondays even more when Cowboys win.
That's going to be rough if you do somehow lose to them in the playoffs.
Well,
divisional weekend. Going to be a rough day.
Waking up with that on your phone on Christmas Day was like not what Santa needed to bring this year, for sure. Have you got any other gripes, by the way, Dre? I know you were getting some off your chest.
I think I've got majority of them out of it.
I just want Deshaun Watson out of the league. He's not fun to watch either. Like, right now, I just don't want him.
Isn't it hilarious, though? You talk about Santa giving us gifts. We got an early gift by Deshaun Watson coming back and being terrible.
That's so nice.
Didn't he play well the last game? I'm not sticking up for him, just in case anyone's thinking.
He was better. But they mortgaged their future and their reputation on this player. And against all the advice of common sense and decency and ethics, and he's been really bad. And I love it. Mm. I hope he's terrible forever.
Mm-hmm. I'm very pleased.
I'm not going to say anything to disagree with anything you said, because I don't need my inbox full of...
This podcast does not represent the views of Verge Magazine and Andre Dixon.
Exactly. In any form of way. So if you see me sticking up...
Yeah, Dre, please step into the trap that I've created for you. Exactly. Deshaun Watson being a good
guy. I saw you waiting.
I'm trying to trip you up. You've had an immaculate show, and then I get you at the end. Well, actually, Deshaun Watson, it wasn't that bad.
Did he really do it? No. I'm staying well clear of that.
The guy ran close to the end of the year. 2,000. Oh no, that's OJ Simpson. My bad. Sorry.
Can you imagine making a big slip up like that? It's almost like who's that guy? Andrew Tate
with the
big slip up. Oof. Oh my god! That I'm sorry. I know it's non-football related.
No.
It is I don't want to ruin it for you guys, but literally just look at the trail between him going at this Greta girl and the back and forth, and then she finished him off not once, not twice, but three times.
Yeah.
It's just great. It's great to see.
Gets
but that's
busted.
Not happening with me.
Gets him busted.
By a pizza box.
Two quite dislikable people going at each other on Twitter. So good to sit back and enjoy that.
Yeah.
No. Dave's doing it again. He's going to have me saying something. I think
going on Greta, Dre. Going on Greta. Go on.
No way in hell.
You. Oh, man.
No,
you're
listen,
not, you're not
listen
buying.
I have
you're
enough
buying.
Red Bull fans coming at me, you know, because dare I say anything bad about their creator, Max Verstappen.
Max, as you
were saying off air, you know, climate change isn't even real, is it?
Yeah.
So, you don't want to say that publicly?
Oh, we're not recording anymore.
You know, I think that's how the only chance of me making any money out of this podcast is if we blackmail all our guests and then get Ollie to record it, and then we just release the tapes one day. Or don't and get paid loads of money.
Or just edit it. Just anyway. Stuff that don't even sound like it should in the same sentence.
I want Matt Stafford to fail.
See, we've already got that in the bag. Yep.
Ollie clipping things off.
I love that. Outrageous. You should use that clip. Anytime I'm on the show, just use it.
We'll get something clipped off of you having a go at Kyler Murray, and I'll use it on every single podcast that you're on.
Up the Greta Thunberg and then...
Yeah, that'll work with Kyler Murray. Yeah.
No, clip up the Sirianni douche. I'll say that for free. Don't
Sirianni
worry about that.
Is a douche. Yeah, okay. talking quickly of making money, Dave, have you put a bet on for this weekend?
I have. Let me get out.
Because
do you want to read out Jazz's one while I...
I didn't even realise if he'd sent one. If he's not on the podcast, he's dead to me for the week. That's the thing.
Oh, come on.
I'll go with what I've got at the moment. As I said earlier, I bet on the Cowboys to have a victory on Thursday Night Football. Unfortunately, it did happen
in the bag.
The Thursday Night Football curse. The Titans as well, finishing this year so badly.
Oh yeah,
they need a big overhaul. Like, don't get rid of AJ Brown. That might be the really smart takeaway from the Tennessee Titans and Mike Vrabel. I've gone the Rams to cover a plus 6.5 spread against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. I am taking the Seahawks to beat the Jets. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What have you done?
I bet on the Cleveland Browns to beat the Washington Commanders. But that I don't feel good about that because like that's a Watson thing.
I've taken the other way on that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then I've taken the Cardinals to beat the Falcons and the Panthers to beat the Buccaneers. And that's 66-1.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Right, I've got Jazz's bet in front of me. I've got the Panthers plus 4 for Jazz against the Buccaneers. Ugh. He's got the Browns as well against the Commies. Don't agree with that, but you never know. Cardinals plus 8.5. Wentz is playing for the Commanders, isn't he? Just rewinding. So I think that's probably why he's done that. Maybe that's smart from you guys. Cardinals plus 8.5 against the Falcons. A weird one. I'm sure the spread is like 5.5.
Yeah,
I think he's made that one up.
He's altered that one himself, yeah.
Chiefs minus 4.5 against the Broncos. He's gone off piece there as well. Eagles minus 2.5 against the Saints. 49ers minus 6.5. These are all over the place, isn't
he? Jazz is doing...
I regret reading this out.
Yeah,
I hate this.
Jazz is doing his thing where he's got way too into it again, and now he's like fiddling all the spreads
himself to cover his own bets,
yeah, as opposed to the actual spread. None of those were actual spreads that you read out.
He's got about 19.5-1. What have I got? I can't even remember what I've done.
I've got a 4,000-1 accumulator of 13 teams.
Jesus Christ.
So, you know,
4,000?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's all the underdogs, basically.
Not all of them. Still going for the Eagles in that one. So, but yeah, there's quite a few underdogs in there. Okay. Seahawks, the Rams, Colts. Colts to beat
it's
the
hard
Giants.
Enough picking. It's hard enough picking a six-team accumulator, Ollie. Yeah. Let alone 13.
Look,
we got
close.
Pound outside.
We got close a couple of years ago. Missed out on £1,200 by a game. Because my mate bet on the Vikings to lose, and they're his team, and the Vikings won, and that was the only one that didn't come in on our accumulator.
Oh, yeah. Never bet against your team.
Yeah.
Right, so I've got quickly mine. Commanders against the Browns. I've got Detroit beating the Bears. I got the Dolphins +2.5 against the Patriots. I got the Eagles -5.5 against the Saints. I got the Falcons to win. Don't know why I put that in. I literally bet on the Falcons every week. And
blind faith.
It's just so stupid, isn't it? I don't deserve happiness. I don't deserve happiness. And then the Panthers, I've got beating the Bucks, and that's got me 35-1. I don't feel great about it. Yeah. Doesn't look good.
Yeah.
There we go.
Dre, thanks for joining us, man. That
awesome.
Was...
Never a problem. Thank you guys for all your hard work and, you know, representing, like, you know, Virgin, you know, and everything that we do. And thank you for Ollie in particular for, not that you don't do anything, Dave. You do.
I don't really.
But you provide great entertainment and solid counsel to, you know, to water down some of Ollie's crap. But you know, thanks, Ollie, for all the work you've done, obviously, Super Bowl stuff. Pro Bowl, F1 and everything else. I say this, I'm trying not to throw up in my mouth as I'm saying this nice stuff to you, but it's you know, it's been a pleasure, obviously, you know, having you guys on board and teaming up with you guys. I think you guys are amazing. I actually legit listen to the show as a fan, so you know, when I get to come on here, then I'm quite excited as I go by non-stop nice. Talking
that's no. Nice to hear
it. We it's better with you than Jazz, actually.
Yeah. No, don't say that.
Do you
want to
come
that.
On every week, actually?
No, don't say that, Jazz. I'm a placeholder for you.
There is
your seat is warm.
No griping about Kirk Cousins. Oh, we can only do it in prime time. All this kind of stuff. There's no blind ignorance on the Steelers winning out after the bye week and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, there's none of that when Jazz isn't here.
Yeah, you just get deluded Giants talk. That's all you got instead.
Look, enjoy it. Enjoy it, because next year could be very different.
Oh, you know what? Please. No, I don't want the season to finish early. Like, I don't want to wish away this season, because I'm really, really enjoying it. But I am very much looking forward to this date when it all ends and the disappointment comes and the realism sits of like, oh, God, another year. Actually, Dave, who do you actually like being sadder, Cowboys fans or Eagles fans?
Definitely Cowboys fans. I don't particularly like seeing Ollie sad. I've kind of got, I like seeing him annoyed rather than sad. So I probably like the Ollie that I get before the sadness. Do you know what I mean? Like 10 minutes before the sadness, that's my sweet spot, when he's just angry and annoyed. But like, I don't like a sad Ollie. That makes me sad. I like him juiced up and shouting at the world.
You try to divide this podcast, Ray. You come in and try to put barriers between people. I'm just a placeholder for Jazz. Let's just needle that relationship there between Ollie and Dave. Let's just try and break it down a little bit more. Don't you enjoy it when he's miserable?
I tried. I tried. You held firm. Loyalty is the key.
Look, 48-22, wasn't it, at the Meadowlands this year? So that's awkward.
I'm seeing where he's going with this.
Just wondering. Just wondering, you know, what the score will be in the last week of the season when we put our backups in. No, it'd be nice, man. We should watch the game together. It'll be fun. We're going to that Philadelphia.
I was supposed to watch the game with the Commanders game with Chris from Chris in the NFL, Chris on NFL End Zone. And luckily for him that I didn't get to watch it with him, because, you know, and also luckily for me, because he seemed genuinely angry with some of the refs' fine decisions. Yeah.
Hey, they're just calling the game, right? They're just calling the game.
You're onside. Yeah. Okay, he's off. Yeah, you're good. No, get him. There he is. Like, yeah, clearly he's a Giants fan, and thank you, ref.
It's such a shame you're a Giants fan, because I genuinely found, I knew this place existed. They've got a couple in London. I can't remember what it's called now. It's called like Pusyunk or something like that. It's basically a Philadelphia bar. There's one in Victoria. There's one in like Warren Street. They do Philly cheesesteaks.
And you mean that?
I was there the other day.
And they show the games, do they? Sorry.
They have two TVs. One TV in there was playing round the clock It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episodes. And the other TV was playing a repeat of Game Pass Eagles games from this year. It was great. It was heaven. And there was loads of like Eagles and Philly sports merch all over the walls and the roof and stuff like that. I was like, I'm going to have to try and watch a playoff game down here. So, Dre, you're more than welcome to come into the devil's lair, so to speak. And
well, you know what we should do? Here's what we should all do. Why don't we all watch it together if you make the game against the 49ers when the 49ers come to town?
Why don't we
watch that together? No, I will watch that with you.
Okay.
I will sacrifice. And if you win that game, I will wear an Eagles cap on your podcast.
Done. He volunteered that. He didn't even need
that's it. That's all right. That is how sure I am that they're gonna give a whooping to you.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll do that. We'll try and find a way to watch that game and we'll get you on. We'll do it.
However, you lose. You, sir, will be repping a
long pause. I think he's reaching for a Giants cap. He is reaching for a Giants cap.
This Giants cap you will wear in a picture with me, which I will post and pin so it's seen forevermore.
Okay. All right. We'll do that.
Agreed?
Yeah. In fairness, that is the nicest of the Giants caps because it's the old logo. So I'll give you that. It's the old Giants logo rather than the NY.
I'm going to find one you don't know. Don't worry about it.
Ollie's normally wearing an Eli Manning jersey once a year in November. So he's pretty used to wearing Giants merch.
Yeah.
Man, I should have got me the shirt as well.
No. We don't need another Eli Manning jersey coming around. Not at all. There's already so much shame on that first jersey. So yeah. All right. You're on. Cool. Well, look, let's wrap up there. At Return the Picks on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. I haven't advertised social media stuff in ages. I don't know if people get to the end of the episode or not, to be honest. At Return the Picks on Instagram and Twitter and everything like that. And Dre, always a pleasure, never a chore.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, mate.